Welcome to the Spirit of Faith broadcast, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. Now let's join Bible teacher Jim Howard for today's message from the Word of God.
Y'all be seated. I'll sit down and admit it myself. I think the first thing, I think let's go ahead and start the service. We need to pray for Bootsy. She's having a bad day. And so, of course, Elaine's there with her. We pray for her, too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we join our faith together, Lord. We believe in people. We're talking about how you, everything is in this Word of God. You breathed it out. It's from you. And that includes those scriptures that talk about divine healing, Lord, and it's your will. And that if two on earth agree as touching anything, we got more than two. And also, so we join our prayers together, Lord, in faith for Bootsy, Lord, and we declare healing in her body. And Lord, we just ask also that you encourage her in her mind and in her spirit to let her grab a hold of this. Pray for Elaine as she's there and all the love and the care she's given to her, Lord, and just keep her strong and healthy too. And so we thank you for it, Lord, looking for a good report. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. That means we agree. Amen. So, I ended up this morning, I told you I'd give you a preview of where I'm going to start tonight, and thank y'all for coming back. Since everybody didn't come back, everybody here gets a double dose. All right? That doesn't necessarily mean it's twice going to be twice as long, but maybe it'll just be twice as better for you. But, and of course, we're talking about heaven, the heavenly assignment. If we're going to get an assignment from heaven, somebody has to give it to us. And we found out that for going all the way back to Adam, going all the way back to the beginning, God believes in talking to things and talking about things. Cecil got his revelation this morning how God spoke and created it, and then he called it, or he named it, he told it what it was. And if you really want to find out what you are, don't take the opinion of all you can, folks, and all that. Check with God and find out what you are. And I was telling about a little experience I had, and I was at the gym in Harrisburg over at the YMCA, and I don't need to say anything about that. It's a good place. I enjoyed it. I'm probably going back to where I was because they got better equipment that suits me better. Even though I'm going to probably have to put my mask back on if I go back over there under protest. But so I've known that I've got some things the Lord assigned me to do. And I just wasn't getting them done, and it wasn't. I just couldn't seem to get aimed right. You know, you ever been like that? Well, I would say it's got to do with writing books is what it's got to do with. And I try here and I try going this way. And so I was just going to go from the gym there, which is upstairs over City Hall in Harrisburg. And I was going to go from there over to get us a hamburger and take it home for my sweet wife at home. I was going to take me one too. All the way, AJ's, they're good all the way with a slice of onion instead of chopped. And then in my case, extra mustard. Now y'all know. And so I was just having a little brief conversation as I was driving these few blocks over there, and I said, Lord, I know that I've got assignments, and I hadn't been getting them done, and I just need help. I need direction about this thing. And so just like that, boom, as soon as I said that, stuff started getting downloaded into me, and I wound up, I've got 12 words over here, and now I brought them so I could tell you tonight. Excuse me a minute. I hope that wasn't too loud in the microphone. Didn't scare anybody back out there in TV land. he just started downloading these words to me. And so before I read you the words, I know everybody here is familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. It talks about plans. I just saw our friend Lisa Golden shared on Facebook. She's the one that put y'all's picture on there because Harold and Peggy were down there visiting with them in Marion, South Carolina, just, I guess, weekend before this one or something. And so, but she posted yesterday a quote by Kenneth E. Hagin, and I didn't bring it with me, so I won't give this verbatim, but the message of the quote was, a lot of people are trying to make their own plans. But what we have to do if we want to be successful and what we need to be doing is we need to let God give us the plan. Now, we all know that Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I have plans for you, declares the Lord. There are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a future with hope. That's NIV, I think. The ESV says it this way, plans for welfare and not free. We're not talking about welfare like you fixing to go on welfare. We're talking about he's got some welfare for you. You're going to fare well. And not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope. But every time I preach about plans, a lot of times I start with that scripture when I'm preaching, ministering somewhere. And then usually if I'm going to dwell on that much, I bring my big old white roll of house plans. Y'all have seen them. Most of you have seen them. And I say, now, most people don't understand this scripture. They think, well, God said he has plans for me, so that means he's planning for everything to be good, so everything's going to be good. But no, you got to understand what plans are. Plans are, a plan is a procedure or a scheme of action for accomplishing something. The plans for a house do not just say, build a house. It starts out, the first page has probably got to do with laying it out and the grading work and getting the property right and all that, and then you go to the next page, and you might go through a bunch of steps before you ever really get to doing something that looks like a house. But you got to do all that first stuff before the last stuff's going to work. And so when I told that to the Lord, he just started one after another giving me these words, and I remembered it, what I could remember, and I had to go back and refresh my memory a couple of times to get the rest of them. And I might not have them in the exact order he gave them to me in, but most of these, after the first couple of them, the order could vary depending on what you need to apply right now. But the first thing he gave me was inspiration, and that's what we're going to talk about mostly tonight. And so I have already written a little something to say about inspiration. And the assignment has to first be breathed out and into my spirit from the Holy Spirit. Before I'm going to start on this plan God has for me, before I start on this assignment he's got for me, he has to breathe that into me. Now we know too, that involves me inhaling when he breathes. And so that comes into my spirit from the Holy Spirit. And if people that weren't here this morning, they happened to be watching this somewhere, we had some folks up here that were the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I hate to report tonight, but the Father and the Son didn't show up, but thank goodness the Spirit is here. and ready to move at any time. But inspiration, the assignment, is first breathed into my spirit from the Holy Spirit. If it is a heavenly assignment, it will originate in heaven. That's not complicated, is it? Otherwise, it is just a good idea which originated with me. Now, I'll add here, we have a lot of good ideas that we need to act on. But there's a difference in a good idea and a God idea. Good ideas are still good, but a God idea means this came from heaven and I need to get on this thing. And so to have success with a heavenly assignment, I need to hear from heaven. If that's, and I wrote this in a way that people that hearing this makes, it would help them. In fact, I wrote this assuming this might turn into a book. If that sounds strange to people listening, I'll say that to you, TV audience, YouTube folks. If that sounds strange to you, let me assure you, the Bible is full of folks hearing from heaven. Old Testament, starting with Adam, he heard from heaven. Even getting his assignment, God said, put him in the garden. He said, look after it. Keep it, protect it, and work it. Protect it and work it. And so when you hear that work part, it'll pertain to another word I heard down here. I said, if that sounds strange to you, let me assure you the Bible is full of folks hearing from heaven, and so is my life experience. Who can say amen to that? Amen. Hearing from heaven. The next word I got, I remember the order of this one, was dedication. First is inspiration, then is dedication. Dedication means sold out. That means God wants me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it the way he wants it done, too. I'll get a hold of the plan. Next word was imagination. You know what imagination is? That's being able to see the unseen. I can't see this thing yet in the natural, but I got to get to where I can see it in my spirit. And then I know what I'm doing. You know, God always sees the end before he started something. He saw the end from the beginning. That's what we do by faith. We see the end from the beginning. Sometimes you're fighting a battle with your health. Sometimes you're getting news coming this way and that way, and they're going to do surgery, and then they can't do surgery, and all this stuff you hear. Go ahead and see the end, and the end is good, I assure you. The end is victory. And so it don't matter what the trip looks like. Really, it would be nice if we had a problem-free trip, but I've already seen the end. It's like if you come in, you know, some of us that are, even if you're almost as old as Wanda and myself, and she's older than me, 4 months. But some of y'all, now I look around and ain't too many of y'all going to know what I'm talking about. We used to go to the movie theater, and you never even thought to check what time does the movie start. You just went to the movie theater and jumped in there and watched it from where you came in till it comes back around and gets back to where you. And you lean over to whoever you're with and say, this is where we came in. But if you come in toward the tail end of that movie and you see that the cowboy has already killed all the bad guys, he gets the girl and he kisses his horse and rides off. It's a happy ending. Then when you watch the beginning of it, when it looks like he's getting whipped real bad, you're not worried because you know how the end turns out. All right? I've got my iPad up here tonight. Robert was impressed. But if I had my Bible, I could flip back to the back of it. I could do that with this. We've read the back of the book. So even in that assignment from heaven that you're working on, use your imagination. Go ahead and see. And then anticipation, that's expectancy. That's the faith and the hope part. Things that be not as though they were. That's what we're saying. That's what we're calling. And then there's the vocalization. What's that? That's me speaking. That's me proclaiming what's going to happen and what's going to take place. I mean, these words came from heaven. God's smart, isn't he? And then organization. You got to get whatever this project is. You've got... Look at the plan over here and get it organized so it can come together like you need it to come together. Supplication. The root of that word is supply. The Bible talks about prayer and supplication. The word prayer, when the Bible talks about that, means to say back to God what he has said to you, really. And the word supplication means supply. It means tell him what you need or want. Okay? Sometimes our wants take a little longer than our needs, but he knows what's going on. Supplication, information, that's study and resources. You get whatever God's assigning you to do, you might not know how to do it yet. You better get to studying. that's information. Application, that's bringing it all together. And I get down to number 10 and talked about he told Adam, protect the garden and work it. The number 10 word God gave me was perspiration. Everything I've ever had God tell me to do involves some kind of work. Now, it might be working. I'll tell you, getting this message together. It worked. I wasn't sweating, but I was working, and in a sense, I was sweating it out, getting it done. And I tell you, when you minister the Word of God, and particularly when it's Sunday morning, you're still not real sure what you're supposed to do. You're almost sweating it out. And then affirmation, that's encouragement. That's where your four good friends come in. You need somebody every once in a while telling you when you get to thinking, oh, this ain't going to work as good as I thought it was. You need somebody to come along and tell you, listen here, didn't God say this? Didn't God say that? Brother, you're going to make it. You're going to do it. Everybody, you know, thank goodness that fellow with the in his cot that couldn't get himself into the healing meeting. He had four crazy friends with faith. And I won't get into that. I don't have time. But I can take the scripture and show you that house they tore a hole in the roof was the house of Jesus. That's where he lived. He was home. Some King James doesn't say that, but he was in Capernaum. And some of these newer I think the English Standard's one of them. It says he was at home in Capernaum. Poor old Jesus didn't have nowhere to lay his head. That was only when he was out on the road traveling. Had a house. And they tore a hole in Jesus. They tore a hole in the preacher's house, so they just got healed. Oh, man. And the final word I got, there may be some more that fit in there somewhere, it was congratulations. And that's when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But as soon as you hear that, you know what? He's probably ready to give you your next assignment. So anyway, all that, I heard all that stuff, and it just came to me like this. And so I thought I'd share the words with you. The big thing we want to know this morning and tonight is, God does talk to us. I heard a voice. I knew I had heard from heaven when that happened. And, you know, it's amazing. I heard somebody mention something to him at lunch maybe or whenever it was, sometime this morning. It's amazing that religious people that go to church somewhere will tell you, because this is what their pastor always told them. It's what their grandma told them. It's what the deacons at the church tell them. God doesn't speak to us anymore. And it's amazing that people say that, but they'll turn right around and say, the devil told me such and so. They believe the devil talks to you, but don't believe God does. Well, if that's the case, you ought to just buddy up with the devil and say, you're treating me better than God is. No, the truth is, the devil is trying to talk to you, but you'd be wise not to listen to him. But God is still speaking to his people. He spoke in those 66 books in the Bible, and they got recorded. Thank goodness for that. And I have seen numerous reports lately. One was, I heard the lady's testimony lately, of Muslims that Jesus appeared to them and talked to them and told him the truth. This one young lady, I saw it, I believe it was on CBN News yesterday. This one young lady had grown up with all this condemnation. She got it from her family, particularly her father, because they're so harsh with women. Never did anything to make anybody happy. But she was assured that you're supposed to be in Islam like some other things that are not right. If you do enough good works, you know, maybe you'll make it in. Well, her family assured her, you're so goofed up, you'll never be able to do enough good. You're just, ain't got any hope for you. Jesus appeared to her and spoke to her about forgiveness, about love, and how he loved her. And she wound up accepting him and has been serving the Lord now for a while and going out and ministering to folks that came from the same background that she did. So, yes, indeed. Praise God, indeed. Let's go to Genesis 2:7. We looked at it this morning, but I just want to revisit that. Genesis 2:7, and I'll let that come up on the screen. I expect it will. Look at there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay, and the man became a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So, what God did, I believe, is breathe his own spirit into Adam. Adam was the first man, and he was the first spirit-filled man. He was in the garden, spirit-filled. The devil came around. Devil ran into this spirit-filled man. But now, understand, we're going to give Adam a little bit of break. God had only given him one rule. You can't eat off of this tree. In fact, he said before that, the garden was full of all kinds of trees. He said, all these trees are for you for food. But there's two in the middle of the garden here, tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. That's why the schools don't be needing to teach our little kids. I don't even want them teaching that to high school kids about gender identity and sexual stuff and all that. They're not ready for that. And so, but anyway, God breathed his own spirit into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And that word, I just say this to give you the word, and I said it this morning, that word is neshama. You don't need to know it. You don't need to memorize it, but you can look it up yourself later on from Genesis 2 and 7. Because that word means, a Hebrew word, and it means breath, air, wind, spirit, all that stuff. Now, we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and those of you folks that come to Wednesday night Bible study, you're something ought to just open right up to that. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And it says, I'll read the King James first. It's on the board. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it tells us some things it's profitable for. Profitable means you'll come out better with it than you would without it. It means you're going to be profit. You're going to make a profit. And we understand profit in business affairs and money. That means that scripture will make money for you, but not just cash. It'll make money for you in every area of life. All scripture, and so it says they're profitable. It says they're inspiration. It's given by inspiration of God. Several other translations say the same thing. Some translations say that it is God-breathed. The English Standard that I'm looking at says all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and so forth, and that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly furnished and whatever. So the ESV says breathed out. Wednesday night we've talked about it, I talked about it, but this thing about inspiration. Inspiration literally means to breathe in. But we use it like I was inspired, you know, and we think that's just, I got this good feeling about it and all, and that's okay. But to inspire means to breathe in. To expire means to breathe out. And if you do that one time and then don't follow it by breathing in again, you'll know what expire means. So that's where that terminology came from. He just expired. You know what that means? Just breathe their last breath. Of course, but what you want to do is respiration. Out and in, out and in, out and in. All right. I won't say anything here about mouth-to-mouth recreation, but just respiration. Quit blushing, Wanda. Inspiration, expiration, and respiration. All right, the word in the Greek that's used there, that's King James says inspiration, others say breathed out. The Greek word is number 2315 in Strong's Dictionary, and the word it's made up of two words. It's all one put together, but I'm going to give you the two halves. The first half is theos, T-H-E-O-S, which means God. Theocracy, theology, it's all about God. The second half of that word is neustos, and that's spelled with a P-N-E-U, neustos. It's just like the word pneumatic, which is an air-operated something. It's like the word pneumonia. I want to say pneumonia. It's just like the word pneumonia, which has to do with breathing, right? And so that P-N-E-U is a word that we get all our air, but it's also the same word that is translated spirit. Just like neshama was air, wind, breath, and all that stuff, and spirit. But the ending on this neustos really says, because you know our words have different endings too, and we can add a different little ending to a root word, and it means just something maybe the opposite. Either with a prefix or a suffix, you can change that and you change what the word means, the root of it. So we take the root word, which is, you don't have to remember all this, it's just going to come together to mean something. The root word is P-N-E-U, and then it's got different endings on it. The ending on that one in 2 Timothy 3:16 means to breathe out. So God, when he gave this word to folks to write down, He breathed it out. And them folks that was selected by God to get that word was the ones that knew, I need to breathe this into me and then put it on paper. And so every bit of this in the Bible is God breathed. He breathed it out. Somebody had to breathe it in and write it down for us. And so it means to breathe out. That word P-N-E-U root, different endings, means to breathe out, to blow. It means wind. And it's the root of the word that we get spirit from. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures, and if you get them on the board, that's fine. But if you don't, I'm just going to mention them. And we know enough, us here tonight know enough about these scriptures, I can just tell you about them, so don't even worry about that. Acts 2 and 4, it says, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. That word wind in Acts 2, 4 is that pneuma word. The same word that describes God breathing the scripture out is the same root word that describes that wind blowing. But it's also, if you were going back to the Greek language, it's also the same word that describes that wind that was blowing out in your yard this afternoon before you left the house. It means wind, it means air, it means breath, it means blow, it means spirit. God breathed his spirit into Adam. Now, Adam dropped the ball and lost his anointing because he didn't follow directions. 4,000 years later, in the form of a dove came down, but what happened? It was a 30-year-old man that had come here miraculously conceived by a virgin. He got an earth name, which was Jesus. We call it that now. He was, we told it this morning, he was Yeshua. And when he was 30 years old, he went to be baptized in water in the Jordan River, and that same spirit that got breathed into Adam got breathed into him. And the devil said, uh-oh, it's been 4,000 years. I defeated that last one. This is 4,000 years. There has not been a Holy Ghost filled person on the earth. There's been some prophets, kings, and so forth that the Holy Spirit would come on for a certain task, but he did not move into any of them. So now the devil says, uh-oh, there's a Holy Ghost filled man on the job. So then 3.5 years later, the devil takes care of that, and he gets Jesus killed. And he says, I took care of that one. Now we don't have no Holy Ghost filled people. Uh-oh, 50 days later. 50 days later, 120 of them. Oh, dear me, the devil says, this is getting terrible. That afternoon, 3,000 more. A couple of days after that, 5,000 more. That was spreading. What was happening? Them folks had inhaled something, and they were exhaling it to let others breathe it out. It wasn't just a matter of God going around individually and breathing on everybody. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is catching. Now, God's involved in it. Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, but often he does that because he has individuals lay their hands on them or just speak the word to them or just get enough information to them that they say, I need it, Lord. All right? So now, that was the rushing mighty wind. All right, also in Acts 2 and 4, it says right after that rushing mighty wind, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. That word for Holy Spirit is pneumatos, same root word as wind, air, spirit, breath, same as that Hebrew word, same meaning as that Hebrew word that God breathed into Adam. They breathed into them. They were filled with the pneumatos hagion. That's the spirit holy. And, I mean, they could have just translated that and said they were all filled with the wind. They were all filled with the breath of God. That'll work. And so then we got that, and then Pastor couldn't hardly wait for me because I already had this in my notes. Acts 20:22. He was ready with that. Jesus in the upper room. Matter of fact, this is before Pentecost, so it started multiplying quickly. And he came back into the upper room on the evening of the resurrection. He came in through the wall. Normal people don't do that. Holy Ghost-filled people are not normal. He had his glorified body, I believe. But he came in there in Acts 20 and 22, and it says, and he breathed on them and said, what did he say? Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, him breathing is a different word from just that breath itself, because he breathed on them, and I'm just going to give you this because these words interest me. That word for breathed is it's E-N-E-P-H-Y-S-E, and then an ending on it. We have a word that starts out that way called emphysema. All right, this just has a different ending. It ends in E-N instead of M-A. And that was the word for breathe. Now, the emphysema is when you're having trouble breathing. This breathing here was, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the pneuma hagion, receive that Holy Spirit. The reason the hagion's in the back, the Holy's in the back. If you ever learn, study a little Spanish, any of the Latin-based languages, Greek, the adjective usually follows the noun. And so, any rate, now, I know y'all are the first team, so I'm assuming that some of this is going to all fit together for y'all, okay? I just want us to see that breath of God, that air, that wind, has been around, and it's breathed out by God, and it's breathed in by people, whether it's talking about him communicating the word, whether we're talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've noticed that folks that don't believe God talks to anybody, if you ask them the question that Paul asked the folks at Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Most of them would say what the folks in Ephesus said. We haven't heard nothing about that. I don't believe our pastor knows anything about that. Well, he explained it to them and prayed for them, and they all received the Holy Spirit. Now, let's make it plain. We got that terminology, especially us folks with Pentecostal and whatever, charismatic. The Holy Spirit moves in your life when you get born again. But he hasn't been released to do what he wants to do out of you. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. This is, I think this is a gemism maybe, but a baptism is a burial. That's what it means. And so in water baptism, we stick them down under the water, and I believe a sprinkling, you can still get to heaven that way. But we put them under there to symbolize the old man is dead and we buried him and somebody new. Now, it's already happened. When you got born again, you already changed before you ever got baptized. The baptism is just a public confession, really, that to let folks know I've experienced this. I have been dead. I'm letting myself be buried in Christ, and I am raising up a new creature with a new feature. And I was doing some reading in 1 John today, and I can get over that last chapter of 1 John. You know what? John believed that when you get saved, you're not supposed to live a life of sin anymore. Amen. He believed you're supposed to be different. Right. So he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something has to die. Baptism is the burial. What dies? I say what died is self-effort. Before that, I was figuring out how to do everything myself, maybe asking God for a little help. But then when you get to where those supernatural gifts are operating in your life, and you're just riding down the road and say, Lord, I need a little help with this situation. There, bang, bang, boom, he gives you all these words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And even discerning of spirits, you can see where the devil's at work when the Lord reveals it to you. Before you gave the Holy Spirit liberty to operate that way in your life, you was going to have to figure that out on your own. And I've illustrated this a long time ago. I was one at Randy Greer meetings down in, it's 2008, was it? Yep, it's 2008 in Bono, South Carolina. Pastor Danny Wallace's church, right? He had just died and his son Jason had taken it over. And I was ministering down there for that meeting. And I shared with them about some of this stuff and about how much easier it is when you get rid of self-effort and start to let the Holy Spirit work and show you things and tell you what to do and act on what that is. And I said, when you pastor in a church, it's so much easier when you, and I based this on some experiences I had had, it's so much easier when somebody comes to your church, and I had a couple in mind, by the way, when I said this, and they, very first thing, they start telling you about what all they've done for the Lord and how they've led worship and they've done this and sung in quartets and done the sound, and I've done all this stuff, and I've got my music here with me. I can go take over right now if you want me to. And I said, it's so much easier when you get something like that, if the Holy Ghost just says to you while you're talking to him, that's an idiot standing there. That's easier than you waiting and finding out yourself. But I had a situation similar to that in a place I was, not here. And you know what? My mother, they came to a Sunday night service. My mother always came. She was in her up in her 90s, and she came on Sunday morning, but she wasn't in the habit of coming on Sunday night. She called me that night. The Holy Ghost already told me about these people. I mean, a lot of pastors, in fact, I know one that jumped on that and put them to work and let them take over some things and regretted it. But when I got home that Sunday night from service, my mama, she was probably about 97, 98 then, I don't know, she called me. And she said, I got a word for you, because my mama had the Holy Ghost and knew how to hear from God. She said, God gave me a word for you, and I need to tell you before I forget about it. He said to tell you, don't let strange spirits come in and take over the church. I said, thank you, Mama, for the confirmation. But what I'm getting around to is the thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you operate in another realm. I could go up here and draw you some circles about the natural realm and the supernatural realm, right? The rules are different out there in that spirit realm. Things work different. We on this ball of dirt right here we're living on. The devil's still the god of this place. And he's got different rules. But we can tap into that other area and use some other, because we're here as ambassadors. We work for a kingdom that's not out of, man, it is out of this world. I want you to know. So I tied all this stuff together. I tell you what, I love that pneumahagion. I loved it when he breathed that into me. And going back to 2 Timothy 3:16, just to pull ourselves back there, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed, or it is breathed out by God. So for me to receive that inspiration from heaven is a two-step process. One, God breathed it out. Number two, I have to breathe it in. In other words, I receive what the Lord had for me. When I heard those 12 words that the Lord gave me, I asked him a question, boom, just like that, he gave me my answer. And they didn't come from natural. I didn't have to go get in the dictionary. I didn't have to go let me see if I can think of some words. No, they came to me, just loaded down Spirit, Holy Spirit to my spirit. And I knew what they were. I did that. I had to be faithful to go home and write them down before the devil stole them out of my memory bank. But so it's a two-step process. God breathes it out. We're talking about everything now. The Word of God that he breathed out. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit fits in this area. And we breathe it in. So the way I caught it was, I breathed it in. And in my case, and I was a good boy, and I went to church, and I loved God. I did. But I had been in three denominations, and none of them really knew God. Not the things I needed to know. And so we had one weekend, we had this lay witness mission where a team of laymen came in. Now, all these, they were about, I'd say 15 of them, maybe more. And I did some of those lay witness missions myself after that when I experienced. But these guys came in. Their leader was a Quaker CPA. Now, these folks all had something, and they came into a denominational church. This was a ministry that really did a lot of good stuff in those days, but did not come in there talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All they did was different ones, and in big meetings we had Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, but in other times they were small meetings, break up into small groups and meet. With one of them leading the discussion, they just came in there and told their Jesus stories. And I knew these folks got something that I don't have. I love God, but these folks got something I don't have. I didn't know what to call it because they hadn't named it themselves. But that Sunday morning, when in a church, in a denomination that if anybody would have had an altar call at the end of the service, everybody, half the rest of them would have fainted. So it was getting toward the end of the service, and I could tell the way the team leader was doing the message that morning, I thought, this guy's going to have an altar call, and them things make me nervous. So I got a grip of the pew in front of me. Now, I think I was saved enough to go to heaven. I was. I love God, but it's just something about them altar calls made me nervous. But you know what? When he got to the end of that invitation, I got up out of my seat, and I went down to the altar, and nobody was down there to pray with you. I got on my knees beside that altar, and I prayed this eloquent prayer. Y'all have heard me say this before, some of you. I said, Lord, whatever they got, I want it. They had exhaled some stuff, and I decided to breathe it in. Didn't even know what it was. They had exhaled something. I decided to breathe it in. And I'll tell you, man, I changed, and it was like that. I was baptized in love, like you were talking about this morning. That was on Sunday morning. That was the last meeting. Now, the church was going to get together that evening to kind of talk about our experience and what had happened. And I will tell you, when they had that meeting with the church after the meeting was all over, some of them wasn't happy with what happened. These people, we just want to get back to being regular old denominational, whatever we are, you know. But I caught something, and so the team leader told me that he saw I got something. He said, we got one of these lay witness missions coming up here in just about 2 months. And he said, at the Methodist Church in Lake Junaluska, North Carolina, I'd like for you and your wife to go. And I said, sign us up. And you know what we did? We went over and we started exhaling on some folks what we had. They didn't all catch it. You know what? All of them didn't inhale. Some of them had the mask on. Some of them put the spiritual mask on. Oh, I don't want to catch this. Oh, good land of mercy. But you know something? One good thing we can learn out of what we've experienced the last couple of years, the process I'm talking to you about, about how to get folks to catch what we have, is exactly how COVID got spread. Some folks, because it was an airborne disease, they told us all that. Some folks was breathing something out, and some other folks were breathing it in. Now, you know, maybe the mask helped some. There's a lot of questions about whether they really did, whether they could have any effect on as fine as those particles were. I won't get into all that. I'm sure that distance helped, because if you were next door, you're not going to catch it. But anyway, we can learn. You know what? That thing started a pandemic for COVID. Just some folks exhaling and some other folks inhaling. We can start a revival for Jesus pandemic the same way. just go around exhaling on people what we have. Now, don't be blowing in their face. And you don't need to get religious. In most cases, that'll scare folks off. But let's just tell our Jesus stories. And let's just stand up for the truth. And if the Bible says this, I know that God breathed it if the Bible said it. If the Bible says this, let's just agree with that. Let's not disagree. Let's just agree with that. When you're from North Carolina and you say just, it can sound like dis. All right. Now, I'm going to point out a couple other things, not much more. I was real easy on you this morning. We saw that in that scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. The word for scripture there, in that scripture, the word for scripture is an interesting word, and I've got it written down somewhere where the definition of it is. It is graphe, G-R-A-P-H-E. We know what a graph is. We know what graphics are. In other words, that is specifically talking about the written word. In that scripture, it is specifically talking about the written word. So that means that every written scripture was breathed out by God. Now, let me caution you here. That doesn't necessarily mean that every translation got it exactly right. But in the original content, it was breathed out by God. And then there's a scripture, don't worry about putting it up, they'll know this one. 2 Peter 1:21 talks about how holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and instructed to write this word. Okay? And when it says moved, that means, I think it was W. Vine's dictionary, I read that word for moved. It means carried. And it means the Holy Ghost. It means that doesn't just mean they were like moved in their mind or moved in their spirit. It means the Holy Ghost picked them up and carried them and said, here, do this. Write this. Dictated it to them. So I'm not going to go back and read all this, but I'm going to tell you, when you read a scripture, we hear about putting it in context. Con means together with, and text means the text. So context with scripture means put it together with what's all around it. You know, you can get something altogether different if you don't do that. It was like the guy that was, he was real religious, and he was going to propose to his girlfriend about marriage, and so he found him some scripture that, and I wish I could think of how to word that, whatever he found or what scripture it was, but they mentioned the scripture, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I need you and I want you in my life or whatever, so he gave her scripture verse, and she came back with her answer in scripture: I would not have you ignorant, brethren. So you can take things out of context and get in trouble. But the context of 2 Timothy, really the whole letter, this is Paul's, what they think is his second imprisonment. It's right at the end of his life. He says in this letter, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, if you want to see me, you need to come soon. Telling Timothy that. And by the way, when you come, bring my winter coat with you. And so it was his farewell letter to Timothy, really. But in the third chapter in particular, read it when you get home. That's your homework. Don't read it right now. I'm still talking. But in those first 15 verses, just to summarize, the church was in a mess. It looks like today's newspaper, and it looks like today's news of what they were living in. Children with disobedience to parents and all that kind of stuff. And we could go and read some of it. I just don't want to take time to read 15 verses of it, and y'all read it yourself. The church was in a mess. And so then Paul gets up to telling Timothy, come on here, baby. Open up. You're supposed to recognize my thumbprint. So Paul was telling Timothy, when he went through all this mess, he's letting him know the answer is the scripture. The answer to the problem is the scripture. Because all that word, all that scripture, all that written scripture was breathed out by God. And so you can count on it. It's the answer. It's the right answer. And then he goes on and says to him, I'm not going to jump to what he said right yet. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Every scripture was breathed out by God. It doesn't mean every translation is perfect. I said that to you. So I got a question here, and y'all know the answer to this. Everybody might not. Is God still breathing out his word for today? Well, I'm going to give you two scriptures, and I could give you more. I might give you more, too. Romans 10:17 was mentioned earlier. Now then, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. That word for word of God right there is rhema Christos. The word, newer translations say the word of God, it says the word of Christ, which is what the original said. Rhema, W.E. Vine says logos is the written word, or logos is the word heard, really. Rhema is the word spoken. And so when it says rhema Christos, that means it is the word spoken by the Christ. It is the word spoken by the word himself. And then W.E. Vine says about it, that rhema Christos is that word you get that you need for that situation you're dealing with. And he gave an example of it in Ephesians with the whole armor of God, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our word of Christ, rhema Christos. That's the sword of the Spirit. It is the rhema Christos, the word of God. And he said that is the word that you get to use in that battle you're in right now. It's not just any spoken word won't necessarily give. For example, if you need some scripture for healing, you need to be looking at some healing scriptures. And you can take the ones that were written and read them and take them into your spirit, and you will hear the Lord speaking them to you if you receive them. It just became, it was Logos in the book. It became Rhema when you said, I'll take that. That's mine. I'll take me some of that. But then also, the Lord sometimes will just communicate to you what the answer to your problem is, maybe through another person. But when they tell you, you know that you've heard from God. You've had that happen. Somebody walk up to you. Well, you know what? They've got a word of knowledge for you, a word of wisdom. They might not say, you don't have to say that. I mean, every minister can do what they want to, but sometimes I know I'm given a prophetic word. Sometimes I know I just heard it. And I'm not going to be critical of anybody. Well, maybe just a little bit. But I don't need you to see me say, yes, Lord, I heard that. I'll tell them. And I don't operate that way. That's just not me. The prophetic stuff comes out right in the message. And if it's prophetic and out of the mouth of God, y'all can figure that out. I got you a gemism. I don't think I wrote this one down. I need to write this down. If you're anointed, you don't need to tell them. They can probably figure it out if you really are. Now, sometimes it's good to tell some folks some things. And I thought about it because Robert reminded me of this last week or sometime. And I used to do this a lot when I started the message, and it's a good thing to do, but the Lord didn't prompt me to do it today, so I didn't do it. I'd have thought of it if he needed me to say it. But y'all don't need to hear it anyway. You already know it. But it was in 1981. I was in the back room of Trapman's Barbecue up there for a Full Gospel Businessmen's prayer breakfast we had every Saturday morning, every Monday morning. Now, that big new part back there, that's what they've built lately when they closed down on 601, but it used to be that just that first part of that back room, and we met in there twice a week, and we dealt with some serious business in there. And I was in there when I'd been over to Kenneth Copeland's Believers Convention in Charlotte, East Coast Believers Convention, 80 and 81. I went to both of them, took a week's vacation. One of my 2 weeks of vacation I got. We was over there at 8 o'clock in the morning every day and stayed till late that night. Because I wanted some of that word. And so it was during that 81 meeting that I knew. Now, I was teaching Sunday school and I was doing some things, but I knew in that meeting I heard from heaven that God had called me into the office of a teacher. And so I went to that Monday morning meeting that we had, and I shared that with some of them, that the Lord, I said, I know I've heard from the Lord. He's called me into the office of the teacher. I said, I'll see what that and how that all turns out, but I'm just telling y'all that. I'm declaring it to you, and I accept that calling. And so this lady that was from the Boulevard Chapel up in Kannapolis on Lane Street, I'm Pennsylvania Avenue, and a sister called DeSantis, nice Greek lady. She understood Greek. She told me, I'm going to give you, she said, the Lord just gave me a prophetic word for you, and it is scripture. It's a promise. Anybody could look at there and take it as a promise, but for you it's prophetic because the Lord told me so. And that was in Jeremiah 5:14. The Lord said, because you speak this word, talking about his word, my word in your mouth will be as fire, and the people people will receive it and it'll devour them. And so devour is kind of a bad sounding word, but consume was a better word to find. That word coming out of my mouth is supposed to have an anointing on it. Now listen, that's when I'm letting the Holy Ghost do it. When I tell him, sit down and Jim can handle this, they all probably ain't getting much. Sometimes that can happen pretty quick. But at any rate, so that's at Romans 10:17, that Rhema word. And then in Acts 13, and I'm not going to go there because there's too much scripture to read. But God, in the first verse, they were Paul and Barnabas and a bunch of them at the church that was at Antioch. They were in that church, certain prophets and teachers, and it named some of them. And it said, and Saul was the last one mentioned. It named all the rest of them, started with Barnabas, ended with Saul, named some others in the middle. Well-known, recognized prophets and teachers in that church. Saul was a new kid on the block then. He was the last one on the list. But the Holy Ghost said, the Bible says in Acts 13, I mean, this is probably 13, pretty much some chapters of Acts almost run a year or so close by after the resurrection, after Pentecost. And so some years after Pentecost, The Holy Ghost is still talking to the church. It said the Holy Ghost said. Now, did a voice come out of the ceiling? I doubt it. Probably one of those prophets heard from God and said, the Holy Ghost is saying this to us. Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. Assignment. Started with a word from heaven that said, separate them out. The very next thing in that scripture, it says, so they got a prophecy, and that prophecy was from known prophets. I mean, these were probably biggies in the church. They didn't jump right up and say, let's do that. They said, let's pray about that some more and fast some more. They were fasting and worshiping God. So after they had fasted and prayed some more about what the prophets in their own church said, they were surely assured that that was from the Holy Ghost. And so then they called them out and sent them out together very quickly. They went to one synagogue, and then they wind up going to minister to this politician, the chief proconsul or whatever he is, Roman politician. They wound up taking the gospel to him. But I'm just sharing that I'm not going to get into that whole story tonight. But that happened because the folks let the Holy Spirit declare something in the church in a prophetic word. And then they, rather than jumping on it, they said, let's make sure this is God. I mean, this is serious business we're about to do here. Let's make sure this is God. One thing is they might have wondered, Saul, man, he's been killing Christians and just got saved. That couldn't have been right, God. I don't know what they were thinking. But they said, let's pray about it some more and fast until we're assured. And they did that. So we know in Acts 13, the Holy Ghost is still, God is still sending people a heavenly assignment and telling them who he needs to do it and how they want to do it. So church was in a mess when Paul wrote this thing to Timothy. Church was in a mess, and Paul is telling Timothy to stick with what you have learned. He said, I know how you learned the scripture from your mom and your grandma. Y'all remember that? He said, and from your youth, you have been familiar with these things. He said, stick with the word of God. And then we get down into, he tells him what it's good for. He said, that scripture, she got me to Acts 13. That's good. Right, they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Good deal. And I'm back in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture, and I am just right at close to quitting time. My pastor, Brother Robin, said, don't tell him you're about to quit if you're not going to quit. All right. They get their hopes up. I ain't about to quit, but I'm close. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Here's what it's good for teaching. Now, that word teaching means instruction. You're getting some of it tonight. You had some this morning. You get a little bit every time you come to this church before it's all over with. Wednesday night, we get some teaching. What did we want to be taught? What does the Bible say? And what does it mean? All right? So it's good for teaching. Praise God for that. It's good for reproof. Reproof means conviction. We need some teaching and preaching of the Word of God that gets folks under conviction. And it might not be about bad stuff. It might be the Lord saying, you know what, I've been trying to get you to do such and so, and you're just stubborn as you can be. I got under conviction the third Sunday in February of 1977. I got under conviction. I was talking about them folks sharing their testimonies. That wasn't all it was about. I also had to deal with that profanity that had been coming out of my mouth. And I went up there, and I want you to know, God reached down on the inside of me and took my cusser out, and it ain't never worked since 1977. And he loaded me back up with some other stuff that was a whole lot better than the cussing to have. He loaded me down with a tongue I could use. Even without cussing, my old self, particularly in my Master Chief Petty Officer years, even sometimes addressing my seniors, I was good at taking my tongue and just cutting people to slices, man. God had gifted me with a tongue that had words that did something. I was doing the wrong thing with them. All I needed to do was get convicted and change my mind and let him take these things and make it words that are fire. That's healing fire, by the way. Amen. And then it says here that these words that are in this Bible that are God breathed out by God, they're good for reproof. They're good for correction. You're wrong, dude. Let me tell you what's right. You remember this morning we talked about darkness trying to tell you it's daylight. It's daylight. It's wrong. Need some correction. And I looked that word up. I don't have the Greek word. We don't need to know it. But it means to straighten, to restore to original condition. And it's even the word in the Greek that it would use for straightening out a bent nail. So sometimes we need to lay you down and... That this word is good for straightening us out.
Amen. That's good.
And if you're smart, you'll just read it at home and let it straighten you out instead of waiting and somebody else need to do it for you. And it is good for correction. Correction, that's what I just did, for straightening out. And it is good for training in righteousness. Now, there's two sides of righteousness. We are righteous in God's sight because Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. And so it is given to me. But then the other side of that is Jesus gave me healing. You know I'm supposed to act healed and look healed? All right? He gave me love, so I'm supposed to look like I'm loving because I am. So he gave me righteousness. That means I ought to look righteous, which means the other side of righteousness is living right. There's a righteousness that he gave you, but the result of that is to live right. And this training in righteousness is this scripture that God breathed out. It's from the first page of your Bible to the last page. Every bit of that will help you to know how to live right. And you can, there's some of them scriptures that will tell you, if I am in a certain kind, I'll tell you a Jimism that a lot of the churches need to get a hold of. Big churches particularly that want to be big, nice to everybody. One of them was, the Lord gave me this while I was in Salisbury one day, and I just came out of my mouth and I said, the church had to agree with heterosexual sin, that's men and women together, before they could agree with homosexual sin. The devil works by degrees. If he'd have jumped in there right away with homosexual sin, he could have never got the church to go for that, but he started by letting them decide that all these folks we got out here in the pews that are shacking up, they say they're in a relationship. I used to tell them to straighten them out about that, straighten out. Listen, I had folks come in when I predicted I was in a church where I'd have 220, 240 people on Sunday, and I knew we had some adults that came to church together that wasn't married, but I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know if they was living together or not and didn't want to ask them. All I wanted to do is be able to preach to them like they weren't. And let them, if they were, let them figure out where this goes. But I used to like to tell them, I hear people talking about we in a relationship. I said, let's talk about relationship. That means you're related. That means she's either your sister or your cousin or y'all are married. Now, are you in a relationship or y'all shacking up? Don't be calling no relationship if you're not related. All right, now listen, you can do that if you do it right, but this word is the way to deal with that, because what's wrong with that is the Bible says it's wrong. That's what makes it wrong. And so that's where we get our instruction in righteousness, is right there. And my ending is to just let you know he's still talking to us today. That's where I end. That's where I pulled the plug. He is still talking to us today. And I believe every one of us in this room before this time tomorrow, we should have heard, we'll probably hear something from heaven. And in most cases, it'll be a well-done, good, and faithful servant a whole lot of times. It'll be encouragement. It'll say, you're doing good. You're not quite batting 1,000, but you're doing good. Just hang in there. Do good. God will encourage you. Sometimes he'll even send somebody else to do that. I believe in encouragement. I'm an encourager. I went out there a while ago in the hall before I was going to come get up here. And Leo was out there sitting in the chair. He's the security man now. He's the ministry of helps and always. He's on security. He's watching out for us. He's sitting there, and I said, sitting there in his chair, I said, you're doing a good job. Doing his job. Amen. So listen, let's all get ourselves opened up. Don't start listening to strange voices. Jesus said, my sheep will hear and know and recognize my voice. My sheep will hear my voice, know my voice. They will not listen to the voice of a stranger. The devil is a stranger. Everybody that works for him is a stranger. We're going to get our message from the Father. The easiest way to get some stuff is just open your Bible. Just open your Bible and start reading. Sometimes the Lord will send you where to go, but if he doesn't, just open and start reading. You know why? Because all Scripture, everybody say all Scripture, is given by God. And it's profitable. It's going to do me some good. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And so just go get yourself in some of it. Start reading it. You know how long? Somebody told me when you read, and I don't do reading through the Bible in a year. Be good. A lot of people do it and you get a lot of things. My mother used to do that. She kept score. She was usually finished by August and starting over again. But when I do that, I find myself just trying to get my 15 minutes worth or my hour's worth. And somebody told me one time, pick your place to start and read until you find your rhema. It might be 8 chapters. It might be 2 verses. And meditate on that. Find what you needed that day and meditate on that. All right? Praise the Lord. Oh, I am through now. And I was blessed to be here today. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me do this. Sorry about the people that didn't come tonight. They really lost out, didn't they? Anybody got a prayer need? We already.
You have been listening to the Spirit of Faith broadcast. This is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and financial support.